But we have a wonderful passage today. It's Luke 1, verses 39 through 56. And if you look it up and it's in a different page than the one you read in your bulletin, there are two translations, two editions of the Bible. So if you get like the wrong page, just be strong and you'll find it. It's the best I can do. It's in there, I know. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed in a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich and sent them away empty. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. It's almost here. It's the third week in Advent, this time of preparing, of waiting in the dark for the light of the Savior to come into the world. But here it is, almost there. We're waiting once again for the Christ child to be born into the world. This Christmas longing comes to us year after year, and reminds us that we have a God who comes to us, who doesn't stay distant, who brings hope into the world not once long ago, not just once a year, but every day and every hour. This time of waiting, this Advent, is done so that we may long for, get a hunger for, anticipate the coming of Christ into the world, this amazing incarnation of God. To help us in this waiting, we are given a story like the one I read today, a story that can't be rushed by our needs or our agenda. It takes its own time, just like a child can't be rushed and will be born when the child will be born. Mary and Elizabeth are waiting. Mary is an adolescent, we can guess anywhere between 12 and 15 years old or so. She's engaged, and she has encountered an angel, Gabriel, who has told her that she will bear the Son of God. She heard this news, and she didn't ignore the angel's message. She just didn't listen politely and then, not raise a fuss and then pretend like it didn't happen. She didn't do that. She didn't ask questions like, "How can this happen? It's me you're talking to." No, simply she is able to accept what happened. She said, let it happen according to your word. Let it be so. And she lives in the mystery. I wonder, though, after the angel left, did the thoughts just start swirling in her mind? Did she think, what am I going to tell my parents? What am I going to tell Joseph? Did this really happen? And I expect as soon as she could, she wanted to get to her kinswoman, Elizabeth, so she could see if it was true that nothing is impossible for God. I imagined Elizabeth was kind of this cool older relative who paid attention to Mary and listened to her and treated her like she was a young woman and no longer a child. To go to Elizabeth's house was always a treat. But now Mary really needs to be there to see if Elizabeth really is pregnant after all these years of barrenness. Maybe Elizabeth is Mary's touchstone to see if this story is true. So Mary must have got her parents' permission and made her way to Nazareth in the hill country. The text said that she went in haste. I mean, she needed to be there yesterday. So she comes in haste, that means in a big old hurry, into the quiet country home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And it was usually quiet. It's that kind of calm you find in a couple that has been married for years and can live with some silence and doesn't waste their words, who lives in a daily pattern, who doesn't do a lot of small talk. But there was more than that usual quiet in the room that day. You remember Zechariah could no longer speak until John was born. And it said that Elizabeth went into her own kind of seclusion during that time. So into this thick quiet, Mary bursts in with the energy of an adolescence, and she says, I'm here. And it splinters the quiet in that greeting. And we don't know what Mary's exact words were, but we know their effect. That child in Elizabeth's womb leapt with joy. And this womb-bound child was John the Baptist, kind of a cousin of Jesus. And like I told the children, it wasn't an ordinary moving around, a little kick in the side of the womb. This was a full-out somersault of joy. The first response to Jesus was from this prenatal child. It was like a dance of faith. Nice for you. We'll see if that helps. It was this dance of faith. It really just amazes me that the first one to recognize the child was John the Baptist in the womb. Now, that's a Christmas card I would like to receive in the mail. This one pregnant woman, and somehow the baby dances around. Or wouldn't that be an interesting stained glass window? The young woman and the pregnant woman? That's what I would like to see. It was like this leap of joy kick-started the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth exclaimed in a loud cry, not in a common kind of quiet, calm way that would have been befitting a woman of her age. No, she cried out in this loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of our Lord has come to me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. The Holy Spirit is all over the Gospel of Luke. He was with John before his birth. He was with his father Zechariah when he silenced him and gave him that stunning prophecy. And here the Holy Spirit is in the words of Elizabeth. When the Spirit comes on you, you know that the impossible is possible and that you will experience things you never imagined. And it's not just relegated to old stories, stories that are told in days gone past. The Spirit still works with us now. The Spirit works in ordinary ways. I saw it happen when I was in Conyers, Georgia. The church that is half the size of this one decided to collect Christmas gifts for the elementary school down the street. It was called J.R. House. And they went to the counselor, Leanne, and said, "We'd like to get gifts for the children who won't get any." And Leanne said, "Thank goodness, because we have parents that have to choose between food and rent and toys. And food and rent are going to come first." And you can't imagine Leanne's face when on the day the toys would arrive, two truckloads of toys came. She must have thought that the Holy Spirit was involved in this, because there were gifts for children that the school would never see and the church would never know them. These gifts came, and she must have thought that some Holy Spirit was kicking around in that church. I suspect the Holy Spirit was with Mary when she uttered those glorious words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." Those aren't words that you would expect to hear from a young girl. They sound like a well-crafted song, a canticle that comes from someplace deep within Mary that she never even knew about. It's actually the longest speech we ever hear from Mary. You heard those words sung by the choir. It's commonly called the Magnificat, which in Latin means magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord. It's not such a familiar text to us Presbyterians, but there are monasteries that pray and read this scripture every single day. And even up at Grace Cathedral, it's sung at every evening song. And I thought about it last Thursday as I was sitting there, and the boys' choir sang the Magnificat. They sing it every evening song, and I thought, they are singing this at least 2 to 3 times a week, from the time they're in first grade through eighth grade. How will it shape their souls, their being, to sing those words, "My soul magnifies the Lord"? The beauty of this catches people. It kind of brings them into the dance of God's work. One translation reads, "I am bursting with good news. I am dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. My soul magnifies the Lord." Paul Peters reminds us that to magnify something means to enlarge, to magnify, like a magnifying glass. Do you remember getting your first one and going outside and looking at grass and bugs, and it was stunning? Some of you probably burned things, but you want to confess that to me later. Or when you reach my age and all at once someone has shrunk down the books and you put on reading glasses and all at once things are clear. The things that you could not read now become readable right before your eyes. Mary magnifies the Lord. She makes the Lord more clearly, more easily seen to others. Mary's magnifying of the Lord doesn't make God more powerful or divine. God is God. However, Mary can make the reality of God clearer to others. By looking at her life, people see the love and the mercy of God. She points to God rather than herself. This young woman who understood she wasn't worthy to be the mother of God, that she is a servant, that she doesn't earn God's love, is chosen by God's love. Aren't we too to magnify the Lord? Maybe it's this couple weeks left in Advent that we take time to look at our own lives and see if we make God's love, God's way, clear to those that see us. During this Advent season, we can learn once again how our lives can make clear the ways of Christ, to see if our words and actions point to the loving God who has entered our lives. Well, then Mary quickly moves the focus off of herself and says what God has done for her, God will do for the poor and the powerless. She sings that God will lift up the poor, the lowly, and the hungry, that God will turn the world upside down, and the powerful and the rich will scatter and will exchange places with the powerless and the poor. And God will scatter the prideful in their thoughts, and the birth of Jesus will be just what God announced before to the ancestors. In him, it will be fulfilled. Now, those are not words that I've ever heard Mary say at a Christmas pageant. You haven't heard the little girl say, I will scatter the rich. Not so much. You think, I think we have tried to make our Christmas story cute and manageable, affirming but not life-changing and life-shaking. But Advent reminds us that this story is not a reasonable one. It's about two pregnant prophets. It's amazing and radical and upside-down turning, hope-filled and life-changing. Maybe we need to sing or maybe just hum in our hearts this song to wish that we too will magnify the Lord, that it might get into our tired and our weary hearts and our pride-filled minds and move us to do this leaping dance of faith. Will Willimon, who was a Methodist pastor, he still is, he used to be the chaplain at Duke University, and he shares this story in a sermon probably preached on Mary. He said a college student went into his office to talk about the virgin birth. The student, it is said, it is too incredible to believe. Well, Willimon responded, if you think that's incredible, just come back next week. Then you will hear how God will cast down the mighty from their thrones and the lowly will be lifted up. And we'll talk about feeding the hungry, and the rich will be sent away empty. The virgin birth, if you think you have trouble with Christianity right now, just wait. The virgin birth is just a little miracle. The really incredible stuff is yet to come. The really incredible stuff is yet to come, and it is worth waiting for. Amen.